Burwell WEA. We started off at the car park at the Arkenstall Centre, which was originally the boys' school, and made our first stop at the church. The church is at the top of the hill in Haddenham. There's been a church there since the 670s when the cathedral was founded at Ely by Ethelreda. And a stone found near the church commemorated Ovin, her steward, dates back from that time. One of the graves in the churchyard itself commemorates the fatal accident of the local policeman, P.C. Smith, who was thrown from the vicar's cart on his way home from Ely. And the gravestone was erected by members of the Isle of Ely police force in his memory. Haddenham, of course, is the most southern village of the Isle of Ely. So when we had our own MP, the last one for the Isle of Ely being Clement Freud, Haddenham was the southernmost village to elect him. Following from the church, the tower was erected in the 1870s when the church was restored, and the tower itself is in memory of the Earl of Hardwicke, who was Lord of the Manor here. The family were Lords of the Manor here for many, many years, and the family also owned Wimpole Hall, which is south of the county. The house that they owned here, of course, was the Hinton Hall estate, which is now owned by the Brooke Bonte firm, Justin Brooke. Following from the church, we crossed the very busy station road. We had a station here in Haddenham until the 1960s, and the train, of course, which ran it was the Grundy Fen Express from Ely to Sutton. We've no longer got the station, but of course we've got Station Road, a very busy road, well used, and a very dangerous road too. We crossed that and noted the view to the next ridge across the fen, which of course is the Sutton Richford Ridge, along which the village college, Richford Village College, stands. And we turned into the lane, Merrick Lane. I'm never too sure where Merrick got his name from, but it's a little lane connecting the main road, the station road, with the lane, Chules Lane, to the east of the village. And we paused along that ridge to look across the low-lying area of Grundy Fen, the very valuable gold torque, which was discovered in Grundy Fen in the 1840s, is now in the Museum of Archaeology and Ethnology in Cambridge. And when Prince Charles opened that extension some 10 years ago now, he actually mentioned the Grundy Fen torque. The view, of course, across Grundy Fen leads us to the setting of Ely and Ely Cathedral, often described as a ship in full sail across the flatness of the fens. But Haddenham, of course, being on the hill of which we're so proud, you do get a feeling of looking across the lower land and then rising up to Ely and the ridge on which Ely itself stands. Across from the nonconformist, or shall I say the parish churchyard now, because not just nonconformist but also Church of England people are buried there. It is a parish churchyard looked after by the parish council. We can see Hinton Hall, the Victorian house which replaced the old hall for the Hinton estate, the manor of Hinton. And one of its tenants at the turn of the century was Arthur Christopher Benson, A.C. Benson, who was Master of Magdalen College in Cambridge. He hated the Fens. He only came out here in the holidays from Cambridge. But he's probably best remembered for the words that he wrote to Elgar's March, the words, "Land of Hope and Glory," which of course has become this country's second national anthem. Moving on then, along Chules Lane, we pass the Social Club, which was built on that site as a result of the old British Legion meeting place in Station Road. And behind the Social Club, of course, we've got the playgroup. The original playgroup was opened at the vicarage by Margaret Thatcher when she was Minister of Education. The playgroup now in Chules Lane caters for children of 3 to 5 who go there each morning, and there's also a special private group there which caters for working parents, and so small babies can be left there as early as 8 o'clock, I think, until their parents collect them at the end of the day. When we reach the main road, it is of course the main road into the village from Cambridge and Newmarket, and it's called, aptly called, Hop Row. and we crossed this into the wreck. Now, the wreck was bought for something like £800 when the Hardwick estate was sold up in 1917, bought by the parish council, and it now accommodates a very, very nice sports centre with a hard surface playing area together with very good amusements for small children. And of course, it's on the very high point in the village, so you can get wonderful views across to Burwell and Cambridge. King's College Chapel can be seen on a clear day, and I'm told that if you've got very good sight, you can in fact see Newmarket Heath. We followed down from the wreck into the school property itself, the Robert Arkinstall School, an LEA primary school built in the 1970s to replace the old school in the High Street and the boys' school that I mentioned earlier, which is now the Arkinstall Village Centre. The primary school has excellent playing fields joining onto the back of the properties in Hop Row, and joins onto the council developed Camping Close complex, which houses old people in flats, warden accommodation, together with some council bungalows. We walked along Camping Close and came to the junction with the High Street where originally the pub, the Bell, stood. As a child, I vividly remember Henry Hawes, who was the then publican. He had two old cows which he used to drive daily up and down the High Street. I'm afraid those cows wouldn't stand much chance here in the 90s. However, the Bell public house was pulled down, although the name is perpetuated in a private development, Bell Gardens. And the walnut tree, which was behind one of the cottages adjacent to the Bell, is now a well-established walnut tree. It was planted just before the Second World War by a local lad, Cockle, I forget his Christian name. But there's a little plaque on the seat near this walnut tree to his memory. He served and achieved the MM, the military medal, in the Second World War. And at the time of his death, his former employees, the Burtons, farmers here in the village, put a little plaque on the seat surrounding the tree in his memory. From that point in the High Street, we looked across to Walnut Tree House. We have a lot of walnut trees here in Haddon. And Walnut Tree House was, until recently, the home of the Doctors Spufford, Dr. Margaret Spufford and Dr. Peter Spufford, whose daughter Bridget was sadly born with a problem from which they knew she would never recover. And after various treatments in London hospitals and so on, she did in fact live to the age of 22. And her mother devoted many, many hours of work and service to establish a place at Addenbrookes Hospital, the old site in Trumpington Street in Cambridge, for accommodation for handicapped children, handicapped students. She felt that it was so sad that just because you had a physical handicap, you couldn't become a student at Cambridge University. And so in memory of Bridget, parts of the old Addenbrookes site have been made into accommodation for physically handicapped students. There's a doctor and nurse on call, and the development is managed by the Shaftesbury Association. And it is in fact called Bridget's, in memory of Bridget Spufford. Walking up the High Street, which was of course the main entrance, one of the main entrances into the Isle of Ely when the Fens were flooded and Haddon was an island. The High Street is a continuation of Aldrith Road, which in turn is a continuation of High Street Aldrith, which further south becomes the Aldrith Causeway. And it's thought that one of the entrances, one of the most important entrances into the Isle of Ely for William and his men, was via the Aldrith Causeway. Going up the hill, as people say in the village, up to the top corner, we pass the High Street School, which was the girls' school, and which has the rather interesting Victorian architecture of stepped gables. We pass several houses with mansard roofs, probably the best of which is St. Ovin's, part of the paper shop complex, which is now Walker's Stores. St. Ovin's was one time the home of the local doctor, and I think I'm right in saying it's the only house in the village that still has a speaking tube. Before the days of telephones, when you rang for the doctor in an emergency, you would sort of jump on your bike or your horse and ride up to the high street and speak to the doctor, Dr. Howe, I think it's the last doctor that lived there, and call him to whatever emergency there was. And you'd speak to him through a tube which has an opening at the side of his front door and which led directly up to his bedroom. Opposite St. Ovens is the Methodist Church with the word Wesleyan on the front. People never throw anything away. And the old Wesleyan Church, built in 1843, was demolished to make way for the 1891 newer Victorian church. But the old sign, the Wesleyan card sign, was put on the front. It was built by the local firm of Feasts, as indeed was the Baptist Church, which is on the crossroads and which has the spire in memory of Chivers, the fruit and arable farmer who had land at Aldrith and who also contributed to Aldrith Baptist Church. Moving to the top corner, the most dangerous crossroads, some people describe in the county, we turned left and went along the green, where there's a very nice new doctor's surgery built in the last few years to replace the old Baptist chapel which stood on the site. And adjacent to the surgery is a new development of houses known as Mill Yard, which is on the site of Setchells, and prior to that, I've lost the name of the people who had the mill prior to Setchells. But however, the non-conformist burial ground is now an open space, and across the hill you can get wonderful views of the newly restored windmill on the Aldrith Road. The tower mill, built in 1803, a tiny rectangle of land taken out of Linden End Field, which at that time was owned by the Hardwick family. The mill was built in 1803 and for many years was owned by Daniel Cockle. More recently, it was bought by Nick Law and his family, and with the help of grants, both from English Heritage and local councils, the OG cap and the sails have been put on the top of that tower mill, and it's now a very good landmark for all to see. Adjacent to the nonconformist burial ground, the land dips down suddenly, and I learned from Frank Steele, a very dear friend of mine, that in fact, at the turn of the century, this deep, steep pit was in fact a sand pit, and a lot of trees grew there that were used by the local rooks for a rookery. And so local boys were able to go and shoot rooks in the centre of the village in the sand hole there. But the land then drops away to Hill Row. And we didn't walk down Hill Row, although Hill Row in itself is very interesting. We turned sharp right into Church Lane, the little lane that links West End with Station Road. And it was along this lane where Arthur Norman had a field, and he generously let the local people use the pit in his field to make a wonderful tennis court. And again, in my youth, I can remember playing very nice or having very pleasant times down in the sand hole, as it was called, with the Haddenham Lawn Tennis Club. I was never a good tennis player, but we had some very happy times down there. And similarly, when it was heavy snow in winter time, it was an excellent area for tobogganing. The sand was taken from that hole, I'm told, to be taken down to the bottom end of Station Hill to make the bridge and to utilise the land there for the building of Haddenham Railway Station. We come then to another cemetery or graveyard, this time for the Anglicans, the Church of England people. After the churchyard around the Holy Trinity Church became full, the church wardens and the parochial church council bought the land again from the Earl of Hardwick, and the churchyard there was in use from, I think, about the mid-19th century until the 1950s, I think, when the last burial was made there. And this joins on very with a very nice wall. This joins on to the Bowls Club. The Bowls Club is very well known in this area, attracting members from a wide area. And in the 1990s, a very nice clubhouse was built for the bowls players. We then come to the Victorian Vicarage, now owned by Dr. Kenny and her family, which until the Reverend Fox died, it was in fact the home of the local incumbent. One of the famous people who came to stay at the vicarage in his time was, of course, the Countess of Athlone, the last surviving granddaughter of Queen Victoria. And she came to stay with the Foxes and took part in one of the village feast weekends. And, of course, Margaret Thatcher more recently came to the vicarage to open the playgroup that was established there at the idea of Margaret Fox, the vicar's wife. We then joined up again with Station Road, and immediately opposite the junction, there stands Merrick House, where Jean Richards, the editor of the Village News, now lives. But it was built by Ernest Peters in the 1860s, 1870s. And Ernest Peters was the local vet. He was self-trained, but he was very well known in the Fens for his treatment of sick horses. And many of his hand tools were given to the Farmland Museum, and they're now going to be made into a display at the new Farmland Museum at Denny Abbey. So the name Peters Vet Haddenham will be perpetuated. Another large property at that side of the street, of course, is the Filberts, which was owned by the Setchell family, the Millers and Bakers, and Ada Setchell, who lived to the ripe old age of 100, she well remembers Arthur Christopher Benson and his entourage coming across the fields from Hinton Hall to worship in the parish church on Sunday mornings. Now, moving down from the walk, I'd like to mention some of the other people in connection with the village. Going down Station Hill, we had the Heifer cheese factory on the left. Now, the Heifers were farmers. They farmed extensively both in Haddenham and, of course, at Aldrith, further down into the Fen. And they churned their surplus milk into milk cheese. It wasn't necessarily cream cheese. It was the Cambridgeshire milk cheeses. And these were sold and exported from Haddenham via the train service to London. So some of the Haddenham cheeses would have reached the London shops and to be sold as the Cambridgeshire white cheese. It was a very soft cheese, a bit like the low-fat cheese sold in the supermarkets today. Further down Station Hill, we come to the estate called the Pond, and that's been built on the old brick pit site. Haddenham had three or four brick pits in Victorian times, and Nicholas Guppy bought the brick pits that originally were owned by the Porter family, and the two houses he turned into accommodation for himself and his friends. Nicholas Guppy, of course, was the anthropologist, and sadly his son has reached notoriety for not such good reasons. He claimed 2 years or so ago to have carried out the perfect crime. It wasn't the perfect crime because he was found out, and I think he's still serving time in prison. But that's the Guppy family anyway of the Pond site. And then further on there's the brick pit site that belonged to the Porter family. Porters and Pates, I get them a bit confused. But the second brick pit site on that side of the road is now owned by Norman Gillett, and he's achieved a very interesting nature reserve, all with his own efforts, around the brick pits and the natural vegetation that grows behind the old station site. The old station site itself is now the site of a very big plastics factory, Anson Packaging, which is an excellent employer of local people. Crossing over the station bridge, you could turn right into Ely Way, Ely Way obviously being the quick way across to Ely, across Grunty Fen. And on the left, the council has filled in some of the brick pits and railway sidings there with refuse. And one of the pits that's now left in the Agri-reserves site, Agri-reserves is the Mormon farming firm, which was originally the BBC Aerial Farms, which before that was the Geest Banana People's Farm. But the pits left on the left-hand side of Sutton Road, one of them is used still by local people for fishing, and the two other pits are now solely for nature conservation. From this point, you get an excellent view across to Sutton. Sutton on the hill with its octagon-towered church, a splendid church. Sutton really has got the most fantastic church. It's almost of cathedral quality. And this road across the fen, across the bit of fen known as Staple Lays, goes up to Witcham Toll, the road linking Sutton with Hatton, and was in fact once a toll road, and you get the junction at Witcham Toll where you can turn left for Sutton and further on up into the fens, up into Wisbeach, and right for Wychford and Ely. Coming back now to the crossroads at Haddenham, I'd like to just do a quick resume of other properties in the parish proper. Going down towards West End and Hill Row, it's the main road, the lorry road across to Huntingdon. There's probably the most important domestic dwelling in Haddenham is Porch House, and it's about a mile from the crossroads at the centre of the village. It was restored in the 60s and 70s and is now lived in by a consultant from Addenbrookes Hospital. In the early days of Blossoms and Bygones, the village open day here in Haddenham, Porch House used to be opened as an attraction for visitors coming to the village to look round. It was a long open hall type dwelling, which has since been sectioned off into three main living areas with accommodation above. But it's a splendid example of a master's house or a rich farmer's house, dated 1657. And it's thought that perhaps, just perhaps, some of the local drainers who were involved with the digging and the organisation of the Bedford rivers from Erith to Denver may well have used or had built that prestigious property. But this is pure conjecture. Following along Hill Row with the red brick farmhouses, some of which survive, the Wadlers farmhouse is a particularly good example of a red brick farmhouse. The fen then drops down at the catchwater drain, and then you're into pure fen and across the Causey. The Causey is of course the Causeway, which was built across the marshy fens to link the southernmost village of the Isle of Ely with the higher land of Huntingdonshire, which of course is now part of the new Cambridgeshire. Swinging round and following the cut that I mentioned as the catch water, catching the water from the hill of Haddenham, this catch water follows round the fen sides to Aldrith, and at Aldrith, of course, thought to be one of the fighting scenes of William and Hereward and his men. You've now got a modern development of houses, as well as the jam factory, or the produce factory, which replaced the old Chivas farmhouse. Aldrith for some years was very well known for gentleman's something or other, and also English provender, which was the trade name of the preserves made at Aldrith. And again, that used to be a source of employment for local people. Another famous thing for which people have heard Aldrith, of course, is the Cambridgeshire branch of the Naturists Society or Club in the early 70s when Reverend Fox was the local vicar. Planning permission was sought for the development of one of the orchards along the borough for a site for the Naturists Club. And some of the locals were not in favour of that sort of development taking place. But however, permission was given, and the members of the society come down regularly at weekends and at other times. They've got a very nice clubhouse round at the borough, and what they do at the other side of their fence is not our business. So the Naturist Club is well established in Aldrith. And Aldrith, of course, was very fortunate, even before the time of mains water being brought to the parish of Haddenham. Aldrith had its own standpipe in the village itself, being filled from a well, so I'm told, from the top of the hill. You get a lot of natural springs along the Aldrith Ridge, and some of the springs were piped to provide piped water for the Chivas employees and other people who then lived in Aldrith. And the site of Etheldreda's well, which in historical times was supposed to give refreshment and benefit to pilgrims on their way to Ely, coming across the fen. The site of Etheldreda's well, although a well stone, was brought to the museum in the 1970s, and it's thought that it could well have been the site and the original well stone of Etheldreda's well. No proof has ever been given, but again, the well stone is looked after by the Farmland Museum. It's sad that there's not a display area here in Haddenham for those local archaeological finds. We've got the well stone from Aldrus Hill, we've got a millstone from the old Hinton Hall site. We've got lots and lots of photographs and documents that were framed and on display at the Farmland Museum in the High Street. And sadly, they're now all in store and not generally seen by the public, which I personally think is a great pity. However, let's move on and come back into the village proper and take the turning into Linden End. Now, Linden End is a modern housing estate, but it perpetuates the name Linden End Field, the 100 acre that I mentioned earlier. Linden End, semi-detached and terraced bungalows, particularly suitable for first-time buyers, linking Aldrus Road, or Audrey Road, as the old people used to say, or Mill End was another name for that junction, linking Aldrus Road with Froy's End. Froy's End is linking the village itself with the fen, the Hoggle Drove end of the fen area. And Froy's End leads down to Lode Way. The Lode, of course, is the natural, the man-made waterway. And we meet up again at the bottom of Lode Way, the catchwater that I mentioned earlier. We came across it at Hill Row and again at Aldrus. And you cross it at the Cut Ridge at Lode Way. And the big field on the right is known as the Petrus. That's a corruption of Peterhouse, because Peterhouse College, as indeed several other colleges, owned quite a lot of the land here in Haddenham. And the Petrus Field has an extremely good hedge all the way around it. There are not that many good hedges in Haddenham. And this is a hedge that's looked after by the conservation group. The field itself is owned by my brother, Harold Freeman, and has been in the Freeman family since the Hardwick estate was sold at the time of the First World War. That's the very last pasture field, because then the land is all given over to arable farming, and small farmers such as my brother, Alan Salmons, the Burgess family, the Markwells, farm the fields up to the Old West River, which of course is in fact the Ouse. Much of the water was taken off from the Ouse by the Bedford, the two Bedford man-made rivers at Erith. And what was left of the Ouse meanders around by the bottom end of Aldrus, with a crossing known as High Bridge, and then the bottom end of Hoggle Drove, and then on to 20 Pence Road at Wilburton, where the crossing is known as the 20 Pence. Now that concludes my tour of the village. I'd like now to mention one or two other facts in connection with the history of Haddenham. I'd like now to refer to some documents that I've worked on over the recent years as far as the history of Haddenham is concerned. One pile of notes I've got, I walked around the village dating, or trying to get all dates from domestic and public properties. The earliest date, of course, was 1657, which I referred to as Borch House. And it seems that not many domestic dwellings have their dates on in recent times. But the bungalow in Froy's End, built by Tony Parrell and his wife, has the date 1988. So I've covered something like 230 years of dates in Haddenham. I'll just mention some of them, the more obvious ones. Liverpool House, which was originally the shop and home of Robert Peters at the junction of High Street with Aldrus Road, known as Stone Cross Corner. That house is dated 1837 and has the name Liverpool House, Liverpool presumably being the insurers that were involved in its insurance. A third list of notes concerns a walk around Haddenham Methodist Church. Joan Clifford asked me to talk to the United Women's Group, and I prepared this several notes to talk to the women about, and then I realised with my horror that we weren't in fact meeting in Haddenham Methodist Church, And so I kept the notes and didn't give that particular talk. But it is quite interesting, the number of people whose names are perpetuated either on flower vases, stained glass windows, kneelers, tapestry pictures, communion tables and so on. The names of people who've worked hard over the years for the Methodist cause here in Haddenham. Two such names that come to mind, my aunt Mabel Demain and Annie Hostler. They were contemporaries and they both worked extremely hard for the Methodist cause in Haddenham, and in their memory a christening font was given. More recently the church was renovated and Eric Hopwood did a lot of the new woodwork, so we've got a completely new communion rail in the chapel made by Eric, and also the cross over the pulpit was made by him as well. Other names with Methodist connections, Emmy Hitch, the Robinson family from South Place, the Cliffords, the Reverend Mrs. Clifford, who came to live in St. Hilda's after Mrs. Demain had died and left the property to the retired Methodist Minister Housing Association. And it's good to know that those names will live on within the parish. A third and interesting, or rather a fourth and an interesting collection of notes I made at the time of the exhibition for Blossoms and Bygones about local authors. Haddenham, present day Haddenham, has many people resident who've written books. The name James Mason comes to mind, having written a book about Ely and the Breckland and Flints. Valerie Grosvenor Meyer, who lives in West End, who is an authority on Jane Austen. Haddenham on the Hills, the notes that Jean Richards published to raise funds for the local church, the local Anglican church, and also the Haddenham Singers. Contrasting Communities, written by Dr. Margaret Spufford, whom I've mentioned earlier. The local vicar, the Reverend Michael Wadsworth, has written a tome on the Pathfinders, his father having been tragically killed during the war. Smaller books have been written by, or rather larger books have been written by people like Jake Alsop on the Robin, and Rodney Dale, I think I'm right in saying, has written something like 20 books. And Cathy McKinnon, Dr. McKinnon, who lives at Herrywood down Aldrith Road, is a world authority on pandas and spends much of her time, I'm told, in China. And small books have been written too in connection with the Farmland Museum. Homerton College at Cambridge published four books in connection with exhibits at the museum. And a name that often crops up in natural history series, the name Fitter. Alistair Fitter and his father Richard have done a lot of books for Collins, and they took on a tenancy of the Guppy houses at the bottom end of Station Road for some time. And it's rather nice when you see such a well-known name as Fitter to realise that both father and son lived for a time in Haddenham. Moving on from authors then, in the parish, I'd like to talk to you about other stories that have been handed down either on tape in the Farnham Museum archives or by word of mouth by some of the old boys that I knew in my childhood and have recorded more recently. One of the lovely comments that Charlie Bester used to make about the two windmills on Aldrith Road, he used to say to children, you know why there aren't two there now? And they used to look with a look of disbelief and say, no, they didn't. Well, he said the reason was there was not enough wind to keep two going. And another story in connection with Aldrith Road, a young lad was taking his dog for a walk down Bedlam Roadway, and the dog went off after a rat or a rabbit and scrapped out some pottery. And that pottery was dated as Roman pottery, which shows that there was a Roman settlement on the southern side of the Haddenham Hill, and obviously was a place of settlement in early times. other things to do with Haddenham Parish. There have been various archaeological digs. I mentioned the dig by Leeds University at Hinton Hall, from which we acquired the millstone. In the 1880s, Dr Ian Hodder led a dig down at Snow Farm down in the Fen near A.G. Wright's property. And another dig revealed the best preserved wood burial chamber that's been found in Western Europe over in Falmer Drove off a hill road causeway. Probably the most interesting dig was, of course, at the back of the pub. We've got two pubs now in Haddon, and we used to have about 26, the two being the cherry tree round at the south end of the village, and the Three Kings at the crossroads, a very strategic point. And when Willie Presnell, the then landlord of the Three Kings, was trying to extend his car park and build an extension for the pub, he came across some skeletons, and Alison Taylor was called in, and it was revealed two very well preserved skeletons, thought to be a man and his much younger wife, together with grave goods, were dug up on the site of the car park at the back of the Three Kings, and they were taken away for investigation and preservation, and I'm told they're now in store at the archaeological site at Landbeach. Had the Famlin Museum continued at Haddenham, it was hoped to make those two skeletons quite a centre of display display for the museum, because they were going to be on display for the public. And Carol Duke, who's an authority on bone, was going to arrange the display for us. But sadly, due to lack of sponsorship, the Haddenham Farm and Museum went out of existence in December 1992, and the bones, the man and his wife, are now in store at Landbeach. Whether in fact they will achieve a display area at the Denny site, I'm not too sure. Another lovely story that Frank Steele tells on tape is of the cattle being driven through Haddenham on their way to St Ives Market. St Ives Market, which now no longer exists, it's the site of the Waitrose supermarket. St Ives cattle market was very, very busy and very important up until the 1950s. And cattle were driven there on Sunday nights, ready for market on Monday. And Frank Steele tells a story how his mother, who lived at the road junction, and they had their small bakery, the Windmill Bakery there, how his mother must be the only person in the parish to have ever had a bullock in her pantry, because apparently a bullock panicked. There wasn't much heavy traffic in those days, but it certainly panicked being driven over the crossroads and dived into the front door of the house, through the living room, through the pantry and out through the back door. And Frank tells this wonderful story of how the excitement of having a bullock in the house was often told in family settings. Another well-known name in connection with Haddon, of course, is the Gamgee family. Joe Gamgee bought the manor house, built on the site of Wren's Nest, along the green in the early 60s, and lived there to his death. And in fact, Audrey, his wife, still lives in the manor house. The Gamgee family were internationally known for their expertise in horse managementship, among other things. And the skeleton of Eclipse, one of the most famous horse racers of all times, is the skeleton now displayed in the Horse Racing Museum at Newmarket. So that's another Haddenham connection. We've got connections with royalty, with the Countess of Athlone, with politicians, with Margaret Thatcher, with the Horse Racing Museum at Newmarket through the Gamgees, with the Museum of Archaeology and Anthropology at Cambridge through the Grunty Fen talk. And so Haddenham on the Hill, although it's only a relatively small fen village, has various connections through authors and people who've lived here, and through music and so on, almost, you could say, worldwide. My last bit of research I called Within Living Memory. It's so sad when you think back to the village of Haddon and its facilities in the last 10 years and those that we've lost. We've lost our banks. Now if we want money, we've got to go through to Ely. And we had two, Barclays and Lloyds agencies. We've lost our building societies. We had two, one at the bakery and one at the solicitor's office. And that again was a useful source of getting money. We've lost both of those. We had three or four butcher shops. We had the co-op. We had Len Rutterford down here in the High Street. Now we've only got one, so we've no choice, and that's a branch of a Sutton butcher's. We had our own bakery. John Wright and Son had an excellent modern bakery built behind the Three Rose and Crown public house. Sadly, they couldn't compete with modern mass-produced bread, and so they had to sell up. And so the Haddon of 1995 is not as good for shopping and facilities as the Haddon that I knew in 1945 when I was a child. We've lost so many of our facilities. One of the shops that the older people miss most of all, of course, is Brown's. We had an outfitter's shop whereby you could buy clothes, Wellington boots, and just about anything you needed in the way of everyday living. That was taken over by an art type craft set up, and that's now no longer in existence, and it's reverted back to a private house. We had Victor's, which was an excellent hardware shop, and people used to come from Wychford and Streatham and so on to do their shopping here if they needed paint or a saucepan or an odd Pyrex dish. That was sold out to Rolfs of Cambridge, and sadly they couldn't make a go of it, and so that's now become a bookstore for Roger Pratt of Heriwood Books. We've still got our post office, I'm happy to say, but as far as other facilities are concerned, we're sadly lacking compared with what we had even 10 years ago. We can't even buy petrol here in the village now. We've got a good garage for car maintenance. We've got one at Aldrith, owned and managed by Mervyn Salmon, member of a well-established local family. And we've got the Iderson garage opposite the church. But neither of these garages sell petrol, so if you're short of petrol on a Saturday night, you've got to go into Wilburton, Streatham, or which I'm told to get some. On the plus side, we have got a very good village centre, which was built with enthusiasm and money raised locally to extend the old Arkenstall Boys' School, and a big hall was put on the side of the school, so there are now meeting rooms, a big hall for functions, and the old headmaster's house, Bert Maher's house, is now part of the branch library, which was threatened with closure only a couple of months ago, but fortunately, that has been reprieved, and we've still got our village library. As I mentioned earlier, we've no longer got our rail service to Ely. We've got a limited bus service. We can get to Cambridge as long as you're prepared to catch an early bus or a 9 o'clock bus into Cambridge in the morning, and you can get home at lunchtime or at 5:10, so you have to plan your shopping accordingly, whether you want to stay for 2 hours or seven. A reasonable bus service to Ely, particularly on a Thursday, it's not bad at all. But for those people without cars, they're worse off now than they've ever been, because, again, when I was first married some 30 years ago, the local butcher would deliver your meat, the local grocer would deliver your groceries and so on. And now, in special circumstances, I think the grocer's spa, which replaced the family grocer's, the International, and before that, Tebbutt's, the top shop, I think they will do a limited amount of delivery. And of course, we are lucky, we've still got our chemist shop. There's been a chemist in Haddon for well over 100 years on the same site, the site adjacent to the Baptist Chapel, now owned and managed by Conrad Payne. What an appropriate name for a chemist. Don't take any painkillers. He is a qualified pharmacist, and he will deliver medicines, which I think must be a great asset to old people who are housebound. So we have got some pluses, but we've got a lot of minuses as far as the development of a Fenland village has been concerned over the years. The population, of course, has gone up. We've got lots of new housing estates. Only this year, a new executive style home estate has been developed on what was Porter's Orchards, and it's now been given the name of Pear Tree Way and Orchard Way, which I think is nice to perpetuate the fruit growing of Haddon, because that end of the village was always known as Perry Way, and we still got the Perry Close, which was originally a council estate. Perry Way and Cherry Orchard perpetuate the aspect of fruit growing in Haddon. And we've got new sites down at Chawles Close, the bottom end of Chawles Lane, one of the manors of Haddon. There were three manors, Linden, Chawles and Hell. Well, Chawles Lane ends in Chawles Close, which is a modern housing development. And then at the other end of Haddon, we've got Glebe Way, land which once belonged to the church. So I hope you've enjoyed listening to my meanderings on the village of Haddon, and perhaps one day I'll tidy them up and get them into a more coherent form. Thank you for listening.